on average, a million streams is around $4,000 USD.
On Spotify.
And we're averaging like 60 million streams a month right now.
Across our catalog.
Things are just pretty crazy. And I don't think most people know that there's that potential, because in music, you hear there's no money in streaming. But I'm like, that's because labels own 80% of your songs. But if you own your songs, there's a shit ton of money in streaming.
Yeah. I feel like I could rule the world. I know I could be what I want to. I put my all in it like my days off on the road.
Okay, welcome first. So I don't know what the real intro of this is going to be, but I wanted to introduce this to you guys. Sam had put this on the calendar, like, hey, we're recording with Connor and Brianna, and I think he knows you guys in person or in real life or whatever. And he kind of loosely said, he said something like, is that the rapper kind of music person? And then when I was doing the prep for this, I was like, oh, it's these people. Oh my God. I love your stuff. I am so excited for this. As you can probably tell, cause I'm screaming, but I'm so excited for this because I think what you do is literally amazing. I think it is so smart and I think it is so impressive what you've done. You know, we've had the chance to talk to Mr. Beast on this podcast, and we've talked to Hasan Minhaj in the comedy world. We've talked to some Cody Ko on the YouTube side, who you kind of look like. I think you know that. but I got to say, I think you are playing TikTok like a fiddle. I think you have figured out like the thing. Every platform that comes out, there's like the people that like kind of come from the old world onto that and just kind of try to do the same thing, but maybe shorter or faster or video or whatever. And then there's people who figure out that medium for what it is. And I think you figured out how to do music on TikTok like nobody else. I don't know if you're a marketing genius or if you fell into that, but either way, it's working. And therefore, I am so excited to have this conversation, because last night, you could tell I'm kind of tired because I was binging your content and I was just so inspired. I don't do anything in the music world. I bet 99% of the listeners don't do anything in the music world. But I was so inspired just by what you were doing. So that's my intro of just fanboy, because I can't believe how good you guys are at what you do.
That was the nicest intro ever.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, no, as far as the marketing stuff goes, that's all Brianna, which is why it's so fun to be able to do this conversation with her. Because we do everything together. But so many of my ideas that have gone viral are her ideas.
So let's give people a little context. And we could either explain it, or I do think it would be better to literally just show it. So I'm going to...
I love the show method.
So I have a bunch that I liked. Dude, you know how much I like this? I was last night, so I'm doing this on my laptop and I'm not logged into TikTok. And I kept hitting the like button. And like, you know, I was like trying to like it. And it's like, create an account. And I almost created a second account just to give you the like, because I was so... I felt like you deserved it.
Thank you.
You know when you feel like someone earned it? Yeah, that's how I felt. All right. So,
I love it.
Play a video. Play one of the videos.
Yo, what is he doing? Oh yeah, so he was telling me that if you cut a carrot a certain way, you can play it like a flute.
He really thinks that's gonna work?
Apparently it's a thing. Just ignore him. Ready?
Yeah, do me a favor, pull up that... Pull up that one session with...
Yeah, look, they said that I couldn't do it, so I went and did it. W's only, you know I've been winning. Top of the world, the globe is spinning. If you know, I've been on a what? Mission. Okay, let's get it. Got a little time on my hands like a wristwatch. I don't got time for the brakes and a pit stop. Race through the gridlock, take it like Chris Rock. Right to the chin, still win. Heavy metals like Slipknot. Got the drive and I got tunnel vision. I just hit my stride the way I run the business. I've been making paper like I'm Dunder Mifflin. See the end game, I got Wonder Vision. Look, I don't ever bother with a critic. Hit him with a Chronicle of Riddick. Boom.
So you create these little like opening skits, and you don't hit them like, okay, traditional way of doing things. Somebody wants to be a musician. They're going to fire up TikTok and they're going to just play their song. Maybe they play their song with a music video already baked in. And if it's me and I'm just hearing the opening of a song, it's usually pretty slow. There's like a little bit of a buildup, you know, just like just a little bit of instrumental playing at the beginning. Or they might say, hey, I'm Sean. This is my new track. Give it a listen, right? Kind of boring, sort of begging for attention. Whereas you have these little opening skits that gets you curious of what's going to happen. You're playing all these characters like, you know, Eddie Murphy in whatever that movie was. you're Tyler Perry and you're playing all the characters. And then then you hit them with a track that's actually like surprisingly good for how simple the intro is. I don't know how to explain it, but this is how you got famous, for doing this stuff on TikTok.
Sure. Yeah. No. So I make music specifically in the kind of hip hop rap world, a little bit of pop sometimes. But yeah, so the whole goal with these videos is to not make it seem like you're selling someone, especially on TikTok. The moment you feel like someone's like, hey, check out my song, you're going to swipe away. So you have to provide entertainment first. And we have found the best way to do that is through skits.
It was really easy because Connor's been acting since he was 6 years old. So it was the perfect way to kind of merge those two worlds. And it worked.
Yeah, I saw you were in a bunch of like Good Luck Chuck, like a bunch of movies.
Yeah, I started acting when I was 6 in Toronto, where I grew up, started with commercials. When I was 10, I did a movie called Cinderella Man. I played the son of Russell Crowe in that film. And that was kind of the first huge project I was ever a part of. First time I went to LA for the premiere, signed with a US agent. And so from a kid, I've just been doing TV and film my whole life.
And then when COVID hit and production shut down, I was like, what do we do? I was working at Alpha Paw at the time, the pet company. I left that job. And then I was like, okay, Connor's really good at rapping. He's loved hip hop for so many years. Why don't we try marketing that? And he didn't want to because he thought TikTok was kind of lame. Like, it was in the era where people just did those little dances. Right. So
yeah,
I took some YouTube videos he had filmed, turned them into vertical pieces of content.
He's like, I'm a thespian. I'm not going to be on TikTok. I'm an actor.
I was naive.
I make films.
My biggest regret is not starting sooner on like social media specifically. Yeah. I'd always been anti that.
But once he saw a video go viral and then it translate to streams the next day, he's like, okay, maybe we can do
that
TikTok.
Changed everything. Yeah. Every time.
Let's pause for a sec.
Yeah. We got to say the background here because people said Alpha Paul. So basically, I am friends with Ramon, who then became me, Sean, and Ramon are all buddies. Ramon is on episode 2 or 3 or 4. Sean talks to him. He had a pet. It's episode 2. He had a soap opera company and then a pet company. I remember Ramon bought this pet business that seemed outlandish at the time, turned into a successful business. I went to Vegas to hang out with him. I think I was there regardless, and I just went to hang out to the office. Brianna was his right-hand woman running marketing and everything else at the company. I go to this brand new office that he has, and Ramon's like, Connor is Brianna's wife. He's actually just going to help us move. He's trying to make it in moving. Or he's trying to make
Ramon
it in.
Ramon told me that you showed up like high on drugs because you were afraid of flying. So you're like, doped up.
I hated flying. And I took too much medicine and I was still figuring out the dosage and I got to the office. I was like, I got to go to sleep. So I was like all messed up. And I was like, I'm sorry, guys. I'm like intoxicated. But I remember meeting
Connor.
Connor
was moving. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was moving boxes like you were because you were an actor and you were in between shit and you were just moving. And then like months later, Ramon was like, hey, remember Brianna's wife or husband? He's like trying to actually become a rapper and he's actually good. And I'm like, the guy moving? What? Really? I don't buy it. I don't buy it. And then you had like some traditional rap music videos. And I'm like, OK, he actually is quite good. Then Ramon was like, hey, Brianna's actually left Alpha Paul and she's gonna take over his shit. Yep. And then I start seeing the TikToks and I'm like, oh my God, this guy's the best. And then you blew up and now it looks like you have like 8 million monthly listens on your Spotify.
Yeah.
Ramon's telling me that you guys are independent.
Yep.
So you like own all the music. Yep. And he's like saying, like, dude, their numbers for revenue are outlandish. You can say it if you want or not.
Yeah.
But like they're making a really good living. Now Connor's going on tour. He's with Hoodie Allen. He's in Europe. He's selling out shows in Europe. Yeah. And now you're like legit famous. It looks like your top song, Spinning, has 105 million downloads. The other one has 74 million. Like, you guys are killing it. And I knew you just as this nice guy who was moving boxes.
Yeah.
And this was only, I think this was 3 years ago. This wasn't long ago. Maybe 4.
It all happened
so fast. You know what?
The
first time we met was at a comedy show 5 years ago in 2018. Do you remember that? It was like a Chris D'Elia show. And then, you came to the office. I think you and I were like butting heads that day. And then Ramon's like, oh, he's just on drugs. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, what Ramon told me, Ramon sent a voice message to me last night. He's like, yeah, Sam came to the office, but he was like, a little bit like doped up from the flight. And he goes, Sam normally asks like pretty direct questions, like add drugs.
Oh, Sam was getting behind everyone's laptops. Like, what are you working
like, what do you
on?
Do?
Why are
you
doing
are you
it this way?
On?
And I'm like,
I don't remember that. I'm sorry.
You're making my team nervous as hell.
And Brianna, you don't know this, but I also saw your work before we ever met because you were behind a lot of the ads. So Alpha Paw scaled like crazy. So Ramon bought this business. That's a dog ramp business initially. So it was literally like...
It was called Sausage Dog Central.
Sausage Dog Central. That's right. Wow.
Which is also what they used to call my dorm in college. But then... So
well played.
So then it's like little dogs use the ramp to get up on the bed or on the couch or down from the couch. I have four of them in my house because I got a little dog. And I also know Ramon, so he sent me four free ramps. So these ramps are great, but I was like, how do you sell these? Like, are people looking for these? He's like, no, most people don't even realize they want it. So we got to like make ads that teach them that they want it. And I was just getting into e-com. Ramon's the reason I started an e-com brand. Because wow. I was sitting at his house hearing the Shopify cha-ching, cha-ching on his phone. I was like, dude, I want that noise in my life. How do you do that? So I decided to start one. And he, to help me, he's like, here, I added you to my ads account, which is like basically like adding you as a co-signer on a bank account, basically. Nobody gives their Facebook ad account to somebody else. But that's
very intimate.
Ramon is that kind of guy, that kind of friend. And so I'm in the ad account and I'm looking at all your ads that you created because you had all these video ads that were working to sell pee pads and ramps and all this stuff. And I was like, damn, I need somebody who's good at creating ads. And I think is it right that you were just kind of like at that warehouse or you were just like come up with the concept yourself and figure out like test them? Is that kind of where you got this like quick video
like
production?
You and your sister, I think.
It was mainly myself and Catherine. Do you remember Catherine? Catherine and I ran the marketing and then my little sister would help me. But basically, we would just try and like either pull at someone's heartstrings. Like we would start a video with maybe an injured dog, and then instantly a person that has an injured dog can relate to that. Right. And they're like, oh, like, and then we show the solution. And then a cute little dog, we literally bought a chihuahua, she's upstairs, just to use like for marketing ads. And we would show her trying to jump up on the couch. And instantly, everyone that has a chihuahua is like, oh, my dog does the same thing. Boom, here's a solution. And it just freaking worked. It was wild. Like I couldn't believe it. We went from an office as big as a bathroom to like a 20,000 square foot warehouse within a year.
Yeah, I was doing a lot of moving.
Connor was moving a lot. Connor would help film. He would help edit the ads.
Yeah.
It was a family production. And then
all the high performing ads we filmed in either our living room or Chloe's living room.
Yeah, like in our house. And then when I was like, okay, I really want to do my own thing. We want to start a family. I need to leave this pet company. It broke my heart because Ramon's my best friend, but I had to ultimately leave. And I was trying to start other companies. I'm like, what can I start? I started like a coffee brand, like a Christian brand. And then our friend Cliff Weitzman, he's the CEO of Speechify.
Oh, we know Cliff.
Love Cliff.
He says hello. I was talking to him this morning. I said I was going to be on. He wants to say hi.
Cliff was over for dinner and I was just venting my frustrations of product boredom. And he's like, Bree, stop. Like, this is your product. He's like, Kris Jenner the shit out of him. So the next day I stopped. I had a huge order and inventory of coffee and I let it go to waste. And I'm like, we're going all in on this. And I pretty much just used the same mindset I used to sell the dog ramps to sell his music. It's like, how can we hook someone in and how can we tell a story around this song? Because a lot of music these days is just like a really cool beat and like some generic lyrics.
Right.
But I'm like, there's a lack of storytelling. And I think that's what music online is missing, and we did it.
So,
and we're doing it independently. So
you can see it because as I was doing my binge, I can't even call it research. I was just enjoying myself going down. I did the Tour de France down your profile. The first video actually on your YouTube channel is pretty dope. I don't know, Sam, have you seen the very first video that the first song that he posted?
Yeah, is that
the one where you rap about how you have a stutter?
Yeah.
What is it called? The S word or what did you call it?
No, it's just S. Just the letter S. Yeah.
So you rap about how you used to have a stutter, and in the song, you're basically every like a bunch of the words start with S. And by the way, you sent me down a Watsky rabbit hole too last night. Like
we love Watsky.
huge inspiration for that.
I'd never heard of him. He's dope. So, anyways, that's the first song, and it's like, okay, this person clearly has talent. But also, it's like, I don't know.
Not different yet.
It's never been easier to go on, I don't know, Fruit Loops and make a beat and then try to rap and like do 15 seconds of a good rap. Like that's, I guess, never been easier, would you say? Like it's kind of more competitive than ever to do that part?
Totally. I mean, there's 60,000 songs uploaded every day?
It might even be more. I think the data is closer to 100 now. But roughly, I'd say to be safe, 60,000 songs uploaded every day.
Yeah, the ease of being able to make music now, especially in the hip-hop space with programs like Fruity Loops.
And Splice, where you can find samples that are royalty-free.
Yeah. It's a lot of people are making music way more efficiently than ever.
And you can see like kind of the progression, like, okay, you're getting some views, you're putting out some good tracks, but like there was, I could almost draw a line and be like, then they figured out how to create like hooks for these videos.
Yeah, it was the presentation.
And then nothing,
it was how
and
to
then
present
everything
that
was different
song.
After that. And is that when you joined, 100%. Brianna? Like, is that kind of when you Kris Jennered the shit out of him?
Yeah, that's when I really stopped trying to do a million things and focused just on him. And the biggest moment for us was creating a series. That's when we started the Spin the Globe series, where he would spin a globe and land on a country and collab with an artist. That took us from like here to like...
Yeah, that took off like crazy. That first video that we did where we landed on Zambia and found the Zambian artist, that video has 72 million views on TikTok and 72 million views on YouTube Shorts.
So explain that video.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so it was an idea where I had this song with this artist named Killa, who's this independent artist from Zambia. When we first worked with him, he had less than 1,000 monthly listeners.
He had 189 monthly listeners.
And now he's over 1 million because of that song, which is incredible.
Wow.
And it's like changed his life.
But essentially we were like, all right, how can we market this? And I was like, all right, we need a strong hook in the first 2 to 3 seconds.
Hey, hold on. Let me play it. I want you to break it down.
Sure. No, please do.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to spin this globe and wherever my finger lands, I'm going to find an artist from that country to collaborate with me on a song and see what happens. Zambia. All right. Well, let's find out more about Zambia. I started researching some up and coming artists and one guy really stood out to me. His name is Killa. He's a rapper from Lusaka, which is the capital of Zambia. I felt like his style and his voice would sound perfect on the song I'm working on. So I reached out to him. I sent him the beat. And then a few days later, he sent me back this. Yo, I know a lot of people praying for my downfall, but the only thing that I'll be down for is being top five, but like down four. I'm down to earth like the ground floor, but I've been flying so long, I tend to ask people, what's the ground for? Man, I'm only headed up. See, my flow volcanic. It's the fire I erupt. Heard the fans getting rowdy because they haven't had enough. You know I'm running the city, you just running out of luck. Yeah, I said that with my chest, I flow hard.
So that whole thing, 5 seconds there. Like, the speed that you hit them with that initial hook of like, you're already started. You're like mid-word. You're like, all right, I'm going to spin this globe. Now you're doing something interesting visually. And and then you set up the premise, the stakes of like, wherever my finger lands, I'm going to find an artist and do a song with them, which, okay, I've never heard of that before. So where does this idea come from? And like, how much time did you put into that first, getting that first 5 seconds to be good?
I was literally at the gym with Connor's mom and I thought of it and I texted him. I said, I'm stopping at Target. We're grabbing a globe. Here's the idea. And his mom parked the car. I ran and got it. It was like $19. And to be honest, at the time we didn't realize it would blow up. And we posted it on a Sunday and it got 3 million views the same day. And I'm like, oh shit. Okay. This is a series. We have to do this again. And instantly I went on my phone. I'm like, what country's next? And I searched hashtag Dutch rap because I really wanted a Dutch artist. I think that language is so beautiful. And I found this guy named Benz. Then we did episode 2 weeks later and boom, that's spinning. And that's the
song that now has over 100 million streams on Spotify in less than 9 months.
That's so insane.
It is insane. Yeah. Wow. So that first one that you were just playing, it really was just like, okay, how do we make content around the song? What's the contentable moment?
And what's something visual? What's something visual we can do?
Right. So for Spinning, like the other one you played with the carrot flute, it was that idea of like, all right, this flute is such a strong element of the song. I remember watching a video back in the day where someone made
No. Christian, our brother-in-law was making a carrot flute at Christmas. Right, and we're like, you're an idiot. What are you doing? And it actually ended up working. And I'm like, what if we bring that into the video?
Right.
And then that's what made the song. Now people like call him like the carrot flute guy. And I'm like, what?
So for this one, the contentable moment for us was like, all right, we have this artist myself from Canada. We have this other artist from Zambia, a country that most people don't even know where it is on the map. Mm-hmm.
So you actually knew the artist, you had the artist idea first, and you're like, how do we tell the story of that? Almost in reverse engineered the story.
Correct. For this one, we had the song first.
But
for
then,
every other one, we were right. Like, we had no idea this was going to blow up. All our content that had performed well at this point was skits. And every time we posted a non-skit, it never did as well. So we really were just like, let's see what happens. I was very much inspired by like content creators like...
Mr. Beast,
yeah. As you can tell from like the whole editing style. And I edit all my TikToks. And so like the one word at a time. I love how in videos it starts. The first frame you hear, all right, guys, today we're going to blah, blah, blah. He just gets into it right away. And so I was inspired by that. Hence this intro.
The first one, we had the relationship with the Zambian artist first. But after the first episode, it was very organic. And we found the artist like literally 2 days before the song was recorded.
And why do you think this video popped off like that?
I think the hook is really strong. I'm going to spin this globe wherever my finger lands. It's like, all right, what's about to happen? Is he going to go there? I'm going to find an artist.
Immediately, you're interested where he's going to land.
Right. And it's visual. You see a spinning globe. Now you're going to stick around and see, all right, let's see where it lands. I land on a country like Zambia, something most people haven't heard of. And I say, I'm going to collaborate with an artist. Now there's another hook of, oh, what's this guy going to look like? What's he going to sound like? What's the song going to sound like? And then they stick around to
the
end.
Is he even going
to
be good?
Yeah. Right. Totally. And
how many times did you have to spin that globe to land on Zambia?
Oh, gosh. I couldn't even tell you. Way too many times.
Yeah, that's another good TikTok, like the behind the scenes.
But yeah, every couple seconds, like every 4 to 5 seconds, there's just something new. There's like a new, like if you're thinking of leaving, you're like, okay, wait, maybe I'll stay. Oh, I'm thinking of leaving. Oh, wait, I want to see him. Oh, he's about to start. I'll stay. Like there's even with the carrot flute video, you'll notice every time there's like a dull moment, we have a of the drill.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I'm staying. Like the weird brother pops in and like surprises. It's like every 4 to 5 seconds.
Two or three seconds almost, like the attention is about to lapse. Open up a new curiosity.
Yeah. We even do that with the music creation. So if Connor's writing a verse and the flow is the same for too long, I'll be like, that's not contentable. I need you to switch your flow up faster so that there can be a new moment where the beat drops and the producer goes,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. Once we started seeing how well the content was doing for the music, I started approaching my creative process with writing the music, thinking about what the content would be. And a lot of times the content would come first. So I would think, you know, that whole carrot flute video did so well. And then we started thinking, what other weird instruments could we use? And then we would think of a weird instrument like a xylophone. And then we made a xylophone beat.
Oh, or one we wanted to do one where the fire alarm goes off mid-recording session, but he's like, wait, stay, that sounds sick. And then they bring out the beat pad and make
and
a
we,
song.
We rap
the fire
over a fire
alarm.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of times we would think of the content first and then make the song.
Was there like a revenue number in mind that you guys to have in order to make this a full-time
job?
Yeah,
my dream was like, I want to make $10,000 a month from this. I'm like, if we can make $10,000 a month, I'll be like the happiest person in the world. And I don't know if you guys know how it works, but it's roughly, there's a lot of variables, but on average, 1 million streams is around $4,000 USD.
On Spotify.
And we're averaging like 60 million streams a month right now.
Across our
so
catalog.
Things are
yeah.
just pretty crazy. And I don't think most people know that there's that potential, because in music, you hear there's no money in streaming. But I'm like, that's because labels own 80% of your songs. But if you own your songs, there's a shit ton of money in streaming. And I kind of want to just bring awareness to that.
Yeah.
Well, what was like the, all right, so you guys were just doing your thing. And then there was that pop moment. What was the first month of sales on the pop? Like when the first video really worked out?
There's a 3 month delay in accounting. So whatever you get from like January, February, March, you get it in April. And I remember that pop moment got us our first 6-figure month.
Yeah.
And we lost our minds.
What were you making per month before that? Like, was it like kind of under $1,000 to over 100,000?
Yeah.
No, that Globe series really, like if I showed you the chart of my Spotify for Artists, you see my daily streams were here and then it just explodes like way up.
What's really cool is that a lot of people have a big moment and then they slow down, they get comfortable. But the second we had that big moment, I'm like, we're pulling all-nighters. We're going harder than we've ever gone. So you can see the chart, it goes up and it stays up, which is like the beauty of it because we didn't stop. Like, I literally remember our baby was sleeping. He was 4 months old during the Globe series. And we would take turns pulling all-nighters. Connor would be editing the videos, go in, give him a bottle, keep editing. It was crazy. We were on crack. I don't know how we did it. But.
Last night when I was watching all the videos, I thought Connor is a genius. And then now I realize that Brianna's a genius, actually. And Connor, you could just go get a drink of water. I just have 1,000 questions for this is so amazing. So you really did. Kris Jenner, I'm curious, just from relationship point of view, how did y'all meet and when did you meet? And like at the time, was it like, I'm going to be a rapper? And you're like, you got it, honey. Go for it.
No, we were 10 and 11 years old. Okay. We lived in the same apartment complex.
When I was telling you earlier, when I did that movie, Cinderella Man, the first time I went to LA for that premiere, after that, I started staying in LA for a few months every year for auditions and stuff like that. And we would stay at this apartment complex called the Oakwoods apartment, which was kind of infamous for having like a lot of child actors stay there. And Brianna's little sister, Chloe, used to act. And so her family and my family lived at that apartment complex at the same time. And I was 10 and she was 11. And that's when we first met.
Yeah. And we stayed friends. We swapped AIM addresses.
Oh, nice.
And then like, it's just a cool story because you were supporting him, I imagine. I don't know what the life of an actor is like, but you were supporting him, and then you know, now you guys are a team.
It's, I mean, that's honestly, just like, it's like flip flopped because his acting was much more lucrative than you think. Like when we first got married, he was on a series called X Company. He did 3 seasons of that and he was a lead on that. And it does pay quite well. I don't know if I'm like contractually even allowed to say, so I won't. But at the time, he was more supporting me. And then I was working and I was a nanny at the time. So I wasn't like bringing in like huge amounts of money. And then I did the pet company stuff. And during that time, he wasn't working. So then I was supporting him.
Yeah.
And now we've come to this like even ground. We're working together and supporting each other and our family, my sister, my brother-in-law, my little brother, everyone quit their jobs and they're all working on our team. So it really just is a family operation. We go to coffee shops every day. They help us edit. They help us like manage the house. They're watching our baby right now so we could do this.
My brother-in-law, Christian, mixes and masters all the music. He produces a lot of it. That whole carrot flute, he played that on the recorder. So yeah, we keep it all in the family.
Yeah, we all swap who supports who. And I knew, I'm like, one day there's going to be a point where we can all just support each other with this like big thing, but I don't know what it's going to be. I wasn't expecting it to be Connor rapping at music. All.
We had a guy on the pod a long time ago. You might know him. His name's Mike Brown. And it's one of the earlier episodes. And I forgot what he was doing exactly. It was some like mineral
oil
exploration thing. Stuff. So he would basically knock on people's houses and be like, hey, did you know there's like some minerals under the ground that you live in? And if you sign this paper that says like, cool, you have the rights to like get those minerals out, dig those minerals out or whatever, mine them. You can get paid this amount of money today. Up front, you can get this amount of money today. And if he got like, if there was 100 houses, he needed all 100 to sign. And if he got that, then he could sell that bundle of letters saying, yep, you have the rights to a company that actually does the mining. And he was making millions of dollars doing this in Texas. And he was like, yeah, I was doing this. And I was like, that doesn't sound like it takes a lot of people. He's like, no, it was just me. And then he's like, I brought on my 2 brothers. And I was like, oh, what's that like working with family? Because like, you know, you hear different things. This is before I started a business with my wife. And I was like, you know, what's that like? And he's like, he just looked at me like I was stupid. And he was like, what do you mean? It's the best. And I go, oh, I mean, like, I guess you guys get along or works out. He's like, no, of course, you know, it's not all perfect. But he's like, my theory of life is you find the people that you love and then you do life with them. And that just like has been ringing in my ears for like 3 years now. It's like, find people you love and then do life with them. Find excuses to do things with them, whether it's work, vacation, or learning something together, or joining learning a sport together, whatever it is. Would you say that's accurate for you guys? Or do you guys have anything that maybe will ring in my ears for another 3 years about this?
I'd say it's accurate, but there definitely are like, we have to plan date nights or else we will never spend time together as a married couple. We turn into just business partners for a while and that's it. Or like, for example, we'll get in an argument as married couples do, but then we have a podcast interview the next morning or a video to shoot. So we have to put aside our pride of like who's right or wrong to make the work come first. Or my siblings, if they get in a fight, I just had this talk with them last week. I'm like, you guys are messing up my ecosystem. We have like a family ecosystem right now. If you fight with you, then now Connor can't mix his music with him. And then so everyone just freaking get along. So sometimes I have to like be that person that's like, stop fighting because business
comes
first.
You're fucking up the juju.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. And then I'm like, there's a point where we're going to sell everything, make a ton of money, and then we can all live on a farm and fight all we want. But for now, freaking get along.
And you just did the way that this is transferring to like actual wealth and money and everything is the Spotify, you get paid off that. I don't know if you can get paid off TikTok or not, but you just did a tour as well. So you and Hoodie Allen did like a, I think, what did you say, 2 or 3 weeks?
It was 3 weeks in Europe. Yeah. I was opening for him.
I actually wrote down our revenue streams just because I didn't want to forget. I'd say the
by
top
all means, go for it.
Yeah.
It's like Sam's going to ask about revenue streams. Of course, I better be prepped. Yeah. We have streaming as the number one by far. We have YouTube money. YouTube actually pays quite well. In regards to social media platforms, YouTube is like the platform.
Yeah, I'll just say this really quick because this is kind of cool. So I found out that I was pretty late to YouTube Shorts. I watched a Mr. Beast podcast where he was talking about, you know, YouTube Shorts being the future, da, da, da. And I was like, all right, let me just try this. And what I did was I took all my popular TikToks, and because I edit them, I have them all on my computer saved, and I just repurposed them on Shorts, and you know, without the TikTok watermark or anything. I took the original, you know, and just reposted.
And then YouTube emailed us and they're like, you were the most subscribed to artist in November.
Yeah.
Of all artists.
In the month of November, they said I was
Did you just reply? Damn right. send.
I said, yeah. Is there like a plaque for that or something?
So, yeah, so I got 800,000 subscribers in 1 month just from posting every day for a full month all my popular videos, including the Globe stuff.
I heard something funny, by the way. I don't know if this is true or not. It might be a conspiracy theory, but somebody was saying like, obviously, this part was, I think, showed to be true, which is if you just re-upload your TikToks with the watermark, like Instagram and YouTube, I think we're deprioritizing.
They don't
it.
Like it.
But so the original file is good, but actually they also scrape the metadata, the name, the file name. I don't know if you guys are, is this true or are you guys aware of this? If you have the same like MP4 file name underneath, they also are trying to match that to just see like,
oh shit, we should start changing our file.
Somebody told
names.
Me that. I don't know if that's true or not.
It could be possible.
I don't know why they would care.
Like that Globe video.
We didn't change anything.
Which is kind of weird that they both have exactly 72 million views on both platforms. And I posted them months apart because, right. Like I said, I was late to shorts.
So now because of YouTube, that's an extra five-figure passive income.
That's why I brought that up.
Which one grows faster, YouTube shorts or TikTok? Which horse do you see winning? Oof.
It's tough because the TikTok algorithm changes so much. But I think right now we're more excited about YouTube because YouTube lets you pin a comment and a link to stream the song, but TikTok doesn't. Oh, nice. They removed the pinned comment feature, so it's harder to convert TikTok views to streams right now. I had a call with TikTok and I said, bring that back. So hopefully they bring it back.
And even more interestingly enough, on TikTok, there. So
could it be my manager too?
Yeah, right.
This is amazing.
YouTube is much more creator friendly as far as, you know, when you want to promote something like that. That video, that first Globe video that I post on YouTube, I was able to make the pinned comment the streaming link for the song.
Yeah, yeah.
And that comment has like 40,000 upvotes. And so it definitely allowed people to get to the streaming way easier than TikTok. TikTok at this point too, even if you try to write the word link in bio or even Spotify, they'll hide the comment. And we've tested this. I've posted that comment under my own video, logged into a different account to go there and the comment's gone. And so they don't want to encourage anybody off the app, obviously.
So
it's business, but
finish this out. So it's Spotify, it's YouTube.
Then brand deals. Recently, like the last couple, you can negotiate like six figures, high six figures, depending on the ask. I'm sure we could get even higher. But like in our current state, current followers, it's like six-figure deals. Syncs, which is like getting your songs in commercials or TV.
Video games,
all that stuff. Publishing. Can you explain publishing real quick in like two sentences?
Oh, it's hard to explain in two sentences. But yeah, pretty much like a song has two parts to it. There's like the master, which is also called the sound recording, which is what the
streams are.
Yeah, what the streaming royalties are. And then there's the publishing side, which is like the writers, the songwriters. And so the publishing, you get paid for like performance rights. So if it gets played on the radio, if someone wants to cover your song and use your lyrics. So it's sort of like a different part of the pie.
Pub and then merch and then live shows. So those are like our 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like seven streams of revenue. And people don't know this. Like,
negotiating all this? I mean, that's very impressive if you're the one also doing the publishing stuff and commercials and things like that. I mean, that's
badass. I was up until like 3 months ago for the syncs. I still am. Like if he needs to get his stuff in a TV show or a movie or a game, I'm still doing that. But for brand deals, we brought on a brand agent team because I just don't have the bandwidth. I was like losing my mind because being a mom comes first. And if Jude is sick or having a tough day and things are due, I'm like, I need someone else to take this. So we do have a brand agent negotiating the brand deals, but everything else is us.
And so you have these revenue streams. Most of the time I've heard that touring is like number one for a lot of artists, but you put it at the bottom.
We were just talking about this on a walk last night. I'm like, how are we going to talk about touring? Because it's just not, I don't like to speak confidently on anything we've never done ourselves.
Yeah.
Of course, if you're at like Drake, Taylor Swift level, blah, blah, you're bringing in hundreds and millions of dollars. But just for context, we opened on the European tour and I had a chart of the money. I'm pretty sure we just broke even on that one. Just because you have to like rent a bus, you have to pay a tour manager, you have to pay for everyone's travel, your DJ, merch, list is endless.
How do you think about that? Because it's obviously a lot of effort. You got a little baby at home.
Yeah.
You probably reduce your output on TikTok because you're touring because it takes up so much time. You're breaking even. But there's the fan love and you're like, okay, this means something and like that matters. And you know, I think most artists just give you the politically correct, like, oh, I do everything for my fans and blah, blah, blah. But like, there's a reality. There's trade-offs to everything. Me and Sam experienced this in a super small level with the podcast where we did a couple live shows. They're fun, but they're a lot of work. You don't make any money off of it. And it's kind of like, well, that was just one episode. Like, we could have just done so much more in that same amount of time. So we kind of, and we both, Sam doesn't like to travel and I got little babies at home. So I'm not looking to travel either. So we kind of don't do it that much. How do you guys measure that? Think about that trade-off of like the live fan experience, which is creates super fans, but you lose all this other stuff.
We found a really good medium for this. We met in the middle. Connor's booking agent, I totally forgot to mention her earlier, which is ridiculous because she's iconic. Connor's booking agent, her name is Kara Lewis. She also reps like Eminem and a bunch of other really awesome artists. And I've talked
only
to her
white
about
rappers
it.
She likes?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Young Gravy. Who else?
No, she's got it. She had Travis Scott at one point. She's got Ice Spice right now.
She's literally the best. There's an article about her, like, and it's called like the most terrifying woman in music. I'm like, I want that to be me. Like, that's me next. Anyways, so we've come to a conclusion with her that right now, while Jude is in these early stages of life, and we're really just trying to build, we'll do pop-up shows. So for example, we're doing a pop-up show in Chicago in November, and then we're going to do a pop-up show in Toronto, his hometown, a few days later. And then he'll accept like festivals. Like a month ago, he went to Calgary for a rodeo and he did Stampede. A festival where they offer you a certain amount of money and you play for 45 minutes. I'm like, easy.
Right.
He's gone for two nights. So we're going to do that. And then just keep doing pop-up shows to have fan love and like connect with the audience, because it is really magical to hear people sing his songs back to him in person.
Yeah.
But the TikTok experience is good too, though, because the thing about digital stuff is, well, I see it, and even though I see 100,000 likes or tens of millions of views on it, I'm like, I don't know who else knows this. And then I saw the video of you in Europe, and you do really cool TikToks of you like before the show and then during the show, and I'm like, holy shit, this is a movement. You know, this is actually it's sort of like when Casper and all these companies, when digital companies started advertising and buying billboards in the subways and shit like that, you're like, oh, it's actually adds value to see it in real life as opposed to just on my phone, even as a digital viewer. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah. That's a great comparison. Yeah.
Yeah. So for us right now, shows aren't like live shows. Like a festival is a money thing. It is a revenue stream because he gets paid for like 45 minutes. But the concept of touring for us, it wouldn't be lucrative enough at this stage for us to invest the time, energy, funds, blah, 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 into it. But when he does do shows, it's purely fans. I know a lot of artists will like charge for VIP meet and greets. I'm like, why am I charging a fan to say hi to you? They're the reason we have a career. No, like he'll stand outside and talk to absolutely everybody there for free. He'll go to the merch tables, sign merch. The venues will try and even like fee us for that. They're like, if he's at the merch table, there's going to be a fee. I'm like, that's so silly. But anyways, when we do live shows, it's going to be completely just for the fans and not a revenue stream.
How big of a venue can you sell out right now, you think?
We've honestly never tested that because we've never done a headlining solo show, but I'll get back to you in a few weeks when we do.
What's your guess? You can guess.
Our hope is somewhere between 900 and 1,000. Those are like the cap.
Oh, dude, you're going to crush that.
Looking at. Well, hey, you know, it's like...
Here's the thing. So, I mean, technically, you like, who knows? You could sell out a 5,000 venue, like you never know. But in the touring world, you have to like build a proof of purchase first. So like you can't just go from zero to booking a massive venue. You have to start at this venue and then your booking agent can negotiate this venue. And then this, because you have to like show them, hey, he sold X many tickets here. So now your venue should take him, because you have to negotiate with like the promoters and the club owners. And so it's hard to say, like touring's a tough topic because one, we're not versed in it enough, and two, it's too complicated of a business to be like, I can go from here to here. You have to build. It's not as much like TikTok where we can go viral overnight and your life changes.
Yeah, it's true.
Sorry if that's a lame answer, but it's just...
So Mike Posner went to my high school, my college when I was there. Wow. And we were all like, this is a guy in the other building that's trying to become a rapper. Like, what is he talking about? And then he did. So that was kind of amazing. One of the things he did when he kind of came back, so he like had his high, like the traditional way. And then he kind of hit a low where like he wasn't making hits anymore. Like his first album was like whatever big. And then like he kind of dipped a little bit. And then he like reinvented himself. And he's like, I'm going to walk across America. So he started doing things that I thought were interesting because it added new layers to him, new dimensions, new content, kind of like ideas. He wasn't doing it for that reason, but it worked well also. And he would do these pop-up shows just in a park. Or he would just be like, I'm just going to start playing in this park and see what happens. But like, and like, it kind of didn't matter what happened live. Like some people got a magical experience that came or were there. Most people weren't there. But he's like, what does it matter if like, okay, let's say there's 50 people here that are having like a 100 out of 10 experience because like something over the top cool just happened. And okay, I don't have 900 other people here, but this video looks so interesting and it makes me more interesting than how a traditional artist does it. So the content would always pop off and his brand would be kind of like the people's champion in a way that he would just do these free shows in the park rather than like how, you know, an artist would traditionally do things. So I think, you know, there's something to flipping touring on its head and be like, I am going to do these fan things on my own terms, but I'm actually going to do them optimized for content and not filling venues because content's my game anyways. And if I just keep building that mountain, right? That's what Mr. Beast does. He's like, if I just keep building this mountain on digital,
it like everything in this business, it's like, what's your goal? Like if your goal is to be a mega superstar and perform in arenas, then yeah, sign with a label and do those things and dedicate your life to building your touring resume so you can get there. But that's just not our goal, at least right now. So we're just focusing on making as much music as possible. Because I forgot who said it. I think it was this artist named Mike Studd. He compared songs to real estate. He's like, if you can buy a piece of real estate every 2 weeks, why wouldn't you? Some of them will remain shacks on the beach, but some of them will be mansions in Laguna. So that's our mindset right now. I'm like, we're investing in as much real estate.
What is your goal? Do you guys have like a, like, do you want to do this for 30 years? Are you trying to just get super rich? I mean,
what do you write on the whiteboard or on the fridge?
Business. Like he loves the art and we love to make good music, but ultimately the goal would be to scale this. Like we would scale a business and then potentially sell the catalog someday. Cause it can be evaluated similar to a...
What number excites you?
50 million.
At what age?
3 or 4 years from now.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be your advisor. No charge. Just add a zero to that number. Because that, like, you guys, 50 is, you guys, you're already fingertips away.
All right, fine, Sean, how's 100 million?
No, add 500 is the number.
What did Bruce Springsteen get, dude? I think Bruce Springsteen got 300.
You know, I want to say something here that's a little bit, so I've definitely, this is probably the most I've ever, like, you know, complimented any guest on this podcast before. Even if I like him, I'm hard to get a little bit. Sam's usually just like, Sam usually fangirls pretty easily. He's like, so you're hot and I just love people that are hot and like, you know, you're fit. So like, you know, you're awesome. And, you know, I usually keep it, you know, a little close to the vest, but you guys are, you're the creative version of hot. And I think that's amazing.
And you're hot. You guys are both hot.
Thank you.
Yeah, that too.
we'll take the physical as well.
The thing that I would say that's kind of an insult is when I watched you on YouTube, I didn't have the same fun as I did on TikTok. So like I watched the full songs. And I was like, these are good songs, but I didn't like, you know, I wasn't like hooked and I wasn't I felt like the things you guys are doing on TikTok, I've kind of never really seen before. It felt so original and it almost felt like a different thing than like music, which is like a thing I understand. And there's a bunch of like pre-established music options that I can go to. I'm curious, do you guys feel this? Do you feel the same way? And B, like, is there any part of your ego that's like, no, I want to be a traditional, take me serious rapper versus like, no, this kind of like these TikTok quick hooks, almost like half songs. That's my thing. And I'm actually creating a new lane over here. How do you think about it?
The goals are different on those platforms. On TikTok, our goal is to reach new listeners. And YouTube is more to nurture the listeners we already have and to nurture the platform because it does pay well. So more views on YouTube is more money in our pocket from the AdSense and stuff like that. But yeah, with YouTube, we're not approaching those long form videos with the goal of reaching new people, if that makes sense. It's kind of hard to explain. And then also sometimes if the videos are a bit more polished, like for example, he did a song with Baby No Money and that was a very polished music video, but like that's like Baby's team.
Right.
They were like, all right, if we're going to do a song with Connor, Connor's got to jump into our world and do a music video. I'm like, great. Then you got to jump into our world and do a skit. So
yeah, well, the thing about your skits is like, first of all, like I see a TikTok video and then I listen to you guys when I work out. Like I associate it goes video first, then I listen to you while I'm exercising.
Right. That's our goal.
But I when I see the video, like you do this, you have this amazing thing where you're clearly an actor. You have three characters. You have the producer, then you have you, the rapper, and then you've got your nerdy brother or cousin or whoever you're supposed
weird
to
brother.
Be. The guy who wears the turtleneck. And I get to know the characters. And you do such a good job. I was telling Sean, I was like, you forget that it's
you.
It's Connor. Yeah. Like you do, even obviously it's you don't dress up or anything. It's just the same person. You do such a good job that I'm getting to know the characters. It's very much
so
like, the Dr. Doolittle or whoever it was, you know, Tyler Perry, where they played it's the same actor doing multiple characters, but you're not even dressed up. I get to know the characters and I like see the weird brother come in and I'm like, oh, he's about to do something funny. and I get to know the personality of the producer version of you. It's so good. You do such a good job of like adding characters that when I listen to the songs, I'm remembering that video and that's what makes me like it.
Whereas that's awesome.
If it was just the songs, they are good, but the skits add so much meaning to it. I'm like, oh, this is the carrot one. You know what I mean?
That's so cool.
And the funny thing is, so music, like if you listen to an album, they've always done these like skit type things in them. Like back when I used to have CDs, like Kanye's, you know, College Dropout album, there would be these little skits, but they weren't that good. And like they weren't that funny. They were kind of long. And like, so that concept's been around. How did you guys come up with this idea to have these how did you come up with the idea for the characters? What was the inspo behind that?
The characters was really just like, we don't have anyone else. Like, we're really like, yeah, we don't really hang out with many people. We couldn't think of anyone who could play these characters as well. So I'm like, kind of just freaking put on glasses and just be.
Yeah, it was just, character. It really was just the most efficient way to do it. And I had control over the whole process because I film it all myself. I set up my iPhone.
He'll film them late at night when the beat. It's like, well, you can't coordinate that with other people. Like, hey, can you come over at 11 p.m. for a TikTok? Like, no one's going to do that. So we just do it all
ourselves.
Well,
you still do a good job of getting, like you have this other video. I forget. I don't even know who the rappers are. Like eventually I figure out, oh, that's Hoodie Allen. But in the video, I'm just like, oh, it's the skit is like, it's a late night thing. The janitor has to fill in.
Yeah.
And I just know the actor as the janitor, not even the rapper. And then you see him rapping and I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's really good. This is like really creative stuff.
We would love to, our dream would be to like almost make not a parody, but of like The Office, but call it The Studio, where we can kind of extend these characters a bit more and like go a bit deeper into them and maybe bring on a few new, like if we have a episode of The Studio where Connor's all these characters and then the guest is like Idris Elba comes in and he acts on it. And then we get Courtney Cox to come in on the next episode. And we use these connections Connor has from acting to now elevate his TikTok skits.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. And then I have another dream of like pitching Spin the Globe to Netflix. I'm like, how cool would that be if it's a 45-minute episode of Connor spinning the globe, lands on a country, but then he actually flies there and we meet the artists and we see their culture and we see the music scene there. Like, for example, Zambia, we have to go there because it would blow your mind. He couldn't send us his video because he only had 12 hours of electricity allotted like per day.
Wow.
And he said, until we get a heavy rain, the government will not increase our electricity. So I can't send you my video clips. So we were waiting to post this episode because you don't have electricity in Zambia to send these videos. So I'm like, I want to go there and see this and like bring awareness to it. And I think that'd be so cool because you have food shows on Netflix. You have like Zac Efron changing the world.
Everybody Feeds Phil.
Somebody Feed Phil, yeah. I'm like, so. Connor should go there and do that. But for music, I think that'd be so sick.
Well, there's a few like paths here, I think. And there's a few examples. One example, which I'm not relating it as an insult, but Weird Al Yankovic. Like, I bet you, I don't know this for sure, but I would bet you that Weird Al probably out-earned most every artist from the 90s. I bet you he crushed it in terms of, obviously, it was in the CD era where it was $22 for a CD that costs 50 cents to make. But I bet you Weird Al crushed it. And then the other guy, and again, I'm not saying it's just because he's another white rapper, but Lil Dicky, you know, he's got that awesome show, Dave.
Dave's
he's done
amazing.
A really good job of parlaying this thing into more than just music and
you
rapping.
Know what I wish Dave did though, which I was so disappointed in, the songs on the track were so good and he's just now releasing them. I'm like, those songs should have been out because I would have streamed
the episode
it.
Dropped.
So not only are you making money from your show, but you're also making money because your Spotify is about to go up. So that's another thing. If we were to do Spin the Globe, all the songs would be out. You watch the episode and then you can instantly stream it.
That's another part of our rollout is we don't promote the song until it's out. Some people promote the song months in advance. They do pre-save campaigns, stuff like that.
What were you going to say about that, Sam?
Well, what I was going to say was Weird Al and Dave are like, I actually think Weird Al is even more talented than Dave, but they're both like this like cutesy type of thing. I actually don't view you that way. I view you as like significantly more serious. Like you're not like, I'm laughing with you, never at you. Whereas with Dave, it's usually at, you know what I mean? But he's still done a really good job of taking these over-the-top music videos and turning them into a thing. But I actually think that you have more potential than him for sure. Because with you, you're relatable, but at the same time aspirational and like you're still serious, but at the same time funny. I don't know. I think that's
a nice compliment, but it's so hard to respond to because that's just hard to respond to. I don't know how else to word it, but we love Dave and he's little Dickie, so good. And
I just admire you guys. I think that you, like, you both have the it factor and it's so evident. And I think the reason Sean said add a zero to it was because we don't know anything about music, but we've hung out with a whole bunch of rich people, a lot of billionaires and shit. And like, you see like some patterns in certain things and it's like, oh, well, this is, yeah, like, we don't know how big this is going to be. It's already big, but it's going to be significantly larger than the way it is now if you have a little bit longer of a time horizon and just keep like doing pretty good.
How long does it take you to create a video or a video with a song? So what is the creative timeline for you know, one of these that you make? It could be like,
I'm looking
at
the
your
song's made or the song isn't made yet.
Yeah, I guess either way. Or like, for example, this the top video right now on your TikTok is this collab, the branded collab that you did with Ruffles and KFC. So you did that. I assume you basically had to, you made something specific for that. It wasn't something you already had made, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So how long does a process like that take you when you're going to create something from scratch? Or is it just some days it's one day, some days it's 3 months? It's hard to say. Like, do you have a kind of a consistent formula for creation?
For songs, some days it can be 3 hours and some days it can be weeks because he's stuck on something.
Sure. Yeah.
But for videos, I'll script something in like 20, 30 minutes and then he'll film himself for a few hours. And then he'll edit for a few hours.
Yeah, on average, I'm probably filming for 1 or 2 hours and then editing for 1 to 3 hours.
And do they all have to be full songs? Or do you just do like, I make, you know, 3 verses and that's for this TikTok video, but I'm not turning it into a full song. Do you ever do that?
No, now we only will invest time in a TikTok if it can convert to streams, or else that's just not lucrative for us. I have like brain fart. But yeah, for Ruffles, they only requested a 30-second demo. So for that one specifically, he only had to write 30 seconds of a song. Boom, done, easy. But normally, it's a full song needs to be done or we won't post it. Because TikTok doesn't pay you for views.
Yeah, but it does indirectly. Because let's say something goes viral. Now your fan base grows. The next video you put out with a song, you know, it's gonna pay.
Oh,
like,
totally.
You know, one thing.
But if the song is out, we can show you the charts. It'll be like, like, right, it's so much different if the song's out. Yeah. But I hear what you're saying.
But like, you know, I admire people who kind of like, there's a temptation anytime you're doing something new, because new stuff is so unproven, there's a tendency and a temptation to like take the energy and the momentum from the new thing, but shift into the proven game. So for example, I did a comparison once of Joe Rogan's podcast, which is like an interview talk show type of thing. And I compared it to the top, like the Tonight Show. And I was like, okay, you know, just, I forgot who's the host or which show I did, but like, let's say Jimmy Fallon was the host of the show. And it's basically like, if you just compare across every key metric, so it's like audience size, Joe's podcast blows away Jimmy Fallon and actually has for years and years and years. Like once Joe got the Spotify deal, then it was like, it got kind of like legitimized. But way before that, Joe was making a ton of money and a huge audience, like 5 years before that. But people didn't think of it like a business because they just didn't have a headline of $100 million a year to Spotify that to like latch onto. So audience size, Joe is bigger. Production, it's Joe's podcast, I think, is Joe, Jamie, and like maybe one other person. So like 3 or 4 people total to pull off that show. The Tonight Show has like 50 people behind the scenes just to like run one show. Like episodes per year. He has like more output with fewer people, bigger reach. And the only thing that was missing was like, didn't have like a category that it fit into really. It was like, it's a podcast. Okay, podcast. Like, is that a business? I don't really know. Like, seems like there's a bunch of those. But Joe stuck with it. And like, he had a lot of offers to do other things, but he just stuck with it. Let it build. So that then by the time, you know, it got really, really big, he could promote whether it's his own product like On It or some other, you know, Athletic Greens or whatever, some product that pays him and start making ludicrous money. And Mr. Beast kind of does the same thing where like he flirts with this idea of like, I could go create a Netflix show. But the reality is if you talk to him and you've seen him do what he's been doing over the last few years, it's just like build audience through this. Like, what? He's like, why would I leave YouTube? I can reach more people than the Super Bowl. And you're like, yeah, but it's different. But he's kind of not wrong. Like he is right. It seemed like this frivolous thing. And then now people see Mr. Beast as like kind of a business entrepreneur guy. But like, it's because he committed to this new lane like many years ago. And I guess what I would say for you guys is, it seems like you guys have a new lane of this kind of like, what I'm, it's almost like fast fashion, but for music, which is like these TikToks that are hooky and catchy and skit based, and like they can get millions of views and build you a huge fan base. I actually think if you just stay with that and you don't try to be a traditional musician, you're going to end up way bigger than all the traditional musicians. If the problem is, it's just like a little bit unproven where that goes exactly. Or like, and it's very tempting to like take offers from legitimate brands and legitimate like paths that you've heard of.
But before. The good news is you're making millions of dollars along the way. You're making millions now. So right. at least you ain't broke.
And we've talked to every major label. It's not like our friend Nick said that. He's like, we're independent by choice, not by default. Because you'll see in the comments, like, why hasn't anyone signed this kid yet? Someone signed Connor. And I'm like, they've tried. We will not, because that's not our goal. Our goal is to like do this ourselves, do things the way we want to do it. And honestly, like prove to other people that you can do it. Because I had no idea that this was possible. And I'd love for other people that are making music to know it too.
How old are you guys?
I'm 29 and Connor's 28.
Wow. And early on, I remember you had this cool video with Courtney Cox, and then you had another one with, what's his name?
Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Those are cool. Have you had any other like heroes or celebrities reach out that floored you?
There's one guy I really look up to. His name is Russ. He's a huge independent artist. He really kind of wrote the blueprint that I followed.
If you want to talk to someone about independent touring, it would be Russ, because I know Russ does it and he sells out massive. Like, if you want to talk about the financial part, the business part of touring, he'd be the one to talk to.
His song Civil War gets me pumped up.
Great song.
Yeah, he's amazing. But yeah, Russ reached out.
And yeah, so he like DM'd and showed love, which is just really cool, because he's sort of been my North Star as far as just like how to do this independently.
He wrote like unsolicited advice, stay independent, you'll be making M's like clockwork. And I'm like, that's all I needed to hear. Like, thanks, Russ.
Yeah. So that was a really cool one for me. Yeah.
He only talks in raps too. That's amazing. His DMs are also raps.
It's so hard because the DMs are so like, Simu reached out.
Oh, Simu Leo. Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing. I'm like, you know, when people ask you a question on the spot and you're like, name a song, and you're like, I don't know any songs.
Yeah, there'll be random things where like I'll notice on TikTok, like, oh, Logan Paul liked the video, or T-Pain liked the video. Like, you know, there'll be little things like that.
That's cool.
But as far as like directly talking to someone, the big one that comes to mind is Russ, just because he's someone who I'm trying to emulate as far as the business goes.
I know you're in Vegas. Is it translating into off the screen stuff? You know, are you walking around downtown Vegas and people are coming up to you? Has that been happening?
Yeah, that's been the weirdest part, because like I said, we stay in our bubble and we hadn't been leaving the house much, especially during COVID. And then we went on a trip to Salt Lake City because we love Utah. It's so random, but we went there and it was a ton. And especially at the airport, like the TSA agents are always like, oh my God, wait. They'll like look at his ID and then be like, the music guy. They're like, we love your stuff. And I'm like, that's crazy. But the best is when little kids come up and they have their little, are you a YouTuber? And they're so cute. And it's like, hey, yeah, what's up? And we had like a 5-year-old super fan come to Calgary to meet him at the rodeo. And Connor took him to Tim Hortons for donuts. But yeah, that's really cool, because you get to see it translate in real life. And especially when it's kids and you're like, oh, that could have been like a core memory for that kid. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Now that you are winning in one lane, what I found is that when people are let's say winning, and let's say that right now you're winning in like this content music game, you'll often see, it's like kind of like Neo in the Matrix. You sort of see the game a little differently. You sort of see opportunities that, you know, like, oh, I feel like other people could be doing this in this other lane, or we could do this, but you know we think that would work, but you know, we just have our hands full, so we're not going to do it. But like, Have you seen any what I call adjacent opportunities for either content creators or on the business side? Like, have you come from a business brain, right? So like, do you see other opportunities?
I just had one the other day. This guy, Kevin, he has this account on Instagram called Icon Brick, and he makes Lego animations. And I've seen a couple big rappers and labels hire him to make Lego animations for their songs. Long story short, he's an incredible songwriter. And I was telling him the other day, dude, put out your own music and use this platform you're building to promote your own music. Like, yeah, every like 10 to 12 videos you're doing like other rappers, but then slide in one of your own videos in there with your song.
Wow, this is sick. I'm watching one of these videos now.
Oh, they're incredible. We're actually releasing a song with him in a couple
weeks. Only has 127,000 followers. You're buying early on this guy. This is great.
Dude, he's insane. I'm like, that's a double revenue stream. You'll be making money from labels paying you to make Lego animations of their songs. Meanwhile, you'll be pocketing Spotify revenue for your own songs. So that's like a perfect example. That one happened recently, so I can think of it. I can't think of any others that are super recent.
You know what's crazy is with TikTok, like, it's just crazy how sound bites are becoming songs. So, mm-hmm. you know, like, there's that one on TikTok where it's that lady going, I want to thank my man. Thank you for my man.
Thank you,
know
my
what I'm talking
man.
About?
I saw that the other day.
It was just a, so she said that
it's
at
Lotto.
A, like, yeah, she just said that at a award show, and that turned into a clip. And then, it was her saying it, and I don't know if she did it or someone else turned it into a thing. And then there's this other one where there's this guy, he's got a 30-second video where he talks about his boo thing. But it's literally a 30-second clip of him rapping. And I'm Googling for this guy, and it has a million likes on Instagram, on Reels. And I'm Googling, I want to see the whole song. It's not even a song. There is no whole song. It is just like his 30-second clip. And it's pretty amazing how things are happening with music where like it's just a clip of a thing. It's not even real.
Oh, I guess the best example of that is the Korn kid. Remember that kid that was like, I love Korn? And it became this viral song on TikTok for like 6 months.
Yeah, it's amazing to start.
But that's actually something we've clocked and we've wanted to be careful of, because sometimes people have their song go viral, the sound, but people don't connect that sound to the artist.
Yeah.
So there were a couple like viral sounds. If you asked me who the artist was, I'd have no idea. So I was like, we need to be very cognizant of that and like make sure that we attach you to the songs as much as possible, which is why we're so like long form skit focused rather than like, let's make a sound pop off. Because it's great. It could be like a moment and a spike for a song, but long term, the goal is to attach Connor to his music more.
Do you, on your way up, like kind of like when you were moving boxes at the Alpha Paw warehouse and you're, you know, in between acting gigs, you're maybe trying to make it in the music game and it's not obvious. You're like, now you're winning and winning feels great, but you probably spent many years losing. This is how I felt in the world of entrepreneurship. From the ages of 21 to 29, I was only doing startups that failed. That's like, I don't know, 8 years straight of just getting my ass kicked.
Did you like dread going to family events? Because we dreaded it. Because it's just like the, hey, how are things going?
How's the little music thing? Yeah.
No, people would be like, what's the new one? Because they're so used to me every year having a new story about the new thing that's going to be the big thing. And I was like, oh, damn, they're right. There is always a new one. Fuck. Like, I wish just one of these was the one. And, you know, like that was it. So was there any, I guess, like moments you remember from the kind of the bottoms that like, you know, either a decision you made, a talk you had with yourself, some advice you got that like sticks with you or helped you during that time?
It was Brie. It was like, you know, I don't have a bunch of friends, which that sounds strange. I'm a very social person and I get along with everybody, but my core circle is very small and I spend 90% of my time with Brie, whether that's us working together or we go on walks every night and we just talk about stuff. And yeah, there was definitely a period, especially when COVID hit and productions completely halted. So I had already a year before that been struggling to get acting work. And then now there weren't even auditions and I was definitely at a low point and was like, what do I do? And Brie was somebody who very early on I had shown my music to. And this was prior to me I used to just record at home by myself. I didn't show anybody. It was just a hobby I had because I loved hip hop, but I was afraid to put it out into the world because I was afraid of the judgment I would get.
She even had an alter ego called... He's going to kill me.
Yeah. No.
It's called Unidentified.
Yeah, Unidentified. I used like a fake name and I used to upload music on YouTube anonymously just because I wanted to see what people would think about it.
And I was like, that's stupid.
Right. Without like attaching me to it. And I was afraid what my friends would think. Like, oh, of course, like the actor wants to be the rapper now. And I was like frozen with
judgment fear.
Yeah, exactly. And Brie has always from the very start just been such like my number one supporter and has given me the confidence. And so when I was in that low point and music was something that I was sort of playing with, she was like, go all in on this. Trust me, try it. Like try TikTok. Like what's the worst that's going to happen? Like nothing's going on anyways, you know? And so she was the one that instilled that confidence to like go for it.
And Ramon instilled that confidence in me because
I like that,
I got hired at the pet company as a social media assistant. And I met Ramon. And then after that, like a month later, he's like, yeah, no, you're my creative director, 100%. And anything I ever wanted to start, he's like, I'd be your first investor. And he believed in Connor so much. So I was taking that confidence from Ramon, who was my mentor, and I instilled it in him.
And Ramon told me, he was like, I'm whatever they're doing, I'm in. And I'm like, you're an idiot, man. There's no money in music. Like, what's there to invest in? There's nothing to invest in. And he was like, I don't know, but whatever. There's something here. Well, I'm in.
You were homeschooled, he was on board. He told me?
I was homeschooled, yes, up siblings? Until high school. I went to a public high school, but prior to that, I was homeschooled, yeah.
And do you think that, like, did that help you in any way in terms of, you know, of, what? Like,
I think so, because when I was homeschooled, I used to, like, start businesses. I showed Ramon my business card. It was like, Brianna Peterson. It was like, violinist, pianist, vocalist, dog walker, pet sitter, babysitter, hire me for anything. Like, I just had so much time on my hands. And also creatively, I would write children's stories. I have old videos from the apartment complex. I wanted to be a director. So I would go around filming all the kids, like documenting their lives. So being homeschooled gave me a lot of time on my hands. And I think it gave me like a need for creativity that most kids didn't have. Because when you're in school, you're constantly entertained by other kids. But I just had my siblings and I had to come up with ways to entertain ourselves. So we would remake Spy Kids. We would remake Disney movies. Like, we would film them ourselves, edit them. Like, so all my family jokes, they're like, you've been doing this since you were like 4.
Yeah, you've always been making content.
Yeah. So no one's asked the homeschool question before. And I never really thought of it till now that I guess homeschooling really did correlate, because it like forced me to be creative.
Well, we have like a large male, most of our listeners are men. The takeaway here is like, get yourself a strong woman to be your partner here. I mean, this is a really great marriage. It seems like you got to get yourself a strong woman to help make this all happen.
I'm a huge fan of Alex and Layla Hormozi. I think that they're a superpower couple. You know what? They live in Vegas, I think. So I'm like going to try and run into them at Milk Bar one night because they never skip dessert, whatever they say. But they're a huge inspo for the husband and wife business relationship, because there's really nothing cooler. Like, we get to work together, be parents together, be married.
I think most people, actually, it's horrible. You guys make it work because you are both emotionally stable. You have similar values, it seems. You have similar goals. I think in most cases, it's not awesome. I think working with family, in most cases, is horrible.
Well, thank you. No, I mean, and we have our moments. I don't want to make it seem like it's always just so easy, because like Bree had kind of alluded to earlier, it's really easy to fall into this like, we work together, we're coworkers mentality, when every so often it's important to remember that we are husband and wife and we need to find that balance. So
we're coworkers who kiss. What's the deal?
Hey, right? Exactly. Yeah. No big deal.
We all do it.
Yeah. Don't tell HR.
We'll leave it this. Sam's about to be a dad. You guys recently had your first baby. Yeah. Any advice? By the way, Sam, have you heard their song about
their son? About
the son. There's a line in there. He's like, what is it? It's like, you got my eyes and I got your back. I was like, oh, that's sick.
Yes,
that's a good line, dude.
I remember watching that video and I was getting emotional. And that's why I was like, I think you're better than Weird Al and Dickie and all these people I mentioned before, is because like, I see your stuff and like, they don't inspire me. I like them. You inspire me.
I won't take any more little Dickie slander on this podcast for the record. I feel like, you know, I let the first one slide. The second one, you know,
he's
I just
cool.
Simply will
well,
not
I see
have
Cotter
it.
Stuff and I'm like, oh, like, Lil Dicky is like, oh,
bro, you
like,
just haven't looked this, into like, it enough.
He's
send you
inspirational.
I'm staying out of this conversation. You guys can't
get
out of this.
I don't
want to
get any beefs here.
I love him, but he, like, his character of like this neurotic Jewish guy of like always complaining. Like, I don't think I want to be you, or like, I want to learn from you in terms of the day to day life. It's more so your career is amazing and I respect it and I like your music. But with Connor, like, when I saw that song, I'm like, dude, the values that you're talking about in the songs, like, I'm on board with, like, I'm inspired to live a little bit better.
I love hearing this from Sam, and I know we have to wrap this up, but I'll just to jump on this point. So many artists have come to us and they're like, Connor needs more of a brand. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, he's too normal. Like, he looks like every other guy on your street, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's why people really like him. because
and you're way hotter than the average guy. Let's be real.
Sam, what's up with you and like hotness?
Oh, don't give me you should show me your calves. If you got good calf muscles,
no,
freak
he
out
has
over that.
Calves.
That's my one thing. Why'd you bring it up?
Terrible.
Why'd you bring it
show
up?
Show him your calves.
I'm not showing him my calves.
Show him.
Give me 6 months
show
and I'll
him.
Show him my calves.
They're just like
he's got a private
holes.
Instagram account for just calf work.
Oh,
and he's been working on it for years.
Wait, no, Sam, I'll send you a picture after they're not great. But we're working on the calves. But that's really cool to hear because the realness has always been something that I've had a gut instinct to stick with. So it's cool to like hear that confirmation from you.
This is the first time that Sean has fangirled out a little bit.
That's so
normally
nice.
It's me.
Sean, so it's so nice to finally meet you. And thank you for the support and for watching and listening. It genuinely means a lot.
Sean asked about baby advice.
Yeah, any dad advice?
The number one advice we have is like, and it's so cliche, but just be so present in those newborn days because they flew by. Genuinely, we look back at old photos, like a baby photo of Jude will make me just cry instantly because I'm like, I was so focused on business like too much. So I wasn't like, I would like hold him and wait for him to nap just so I could go work more. But I wish at the time I was like enjoying it more. So that you don't end up crying on a podcast one day.
Here we are.
No, anytime we get crying, we know our views are going to go up.
So, yeah, so thank you.
And don't go on tour for 3.5 weeks because it was fun, but he missed a lot.
I think you're doing it right. I think even if maybe there were some moments where, I mean, where you maybe think you weren't present, I have a feeling just watching you on social media, I have a feeling you're doing things wonderfully. And the things you've said on the pod about the family business and everything, I think you're crushing it in life. In business, you're crushing it. In life, you're probably crushing it even harder.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
And I know what you mean. I look at those photos and I literally don't even remember. I'm like, I don't remember her looking like this.
Right.
It's and it's
so
like, obviously
crazy.
I remember when I see it, but I'm like, oh man, that just feels like two different times. And kids are this funny thing where like, for me at least, all day, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait for you to go to sleep or just like get a moment of free time. And then as soon as we have free time, that's all me and my wife talk about. It's like, okay, wait, what do we want all this free time for? All we're going to do is talk about the kids anyways, like the funny things that they did today. So it's like, it's this cup that like, you know, you can never really fill up enough of. But at the same time, you're like, I don't know, it's like this weird dueling thing. I don't have like the words or the wisdom to like articulate it, but I definitely feel it where it's, you can never spend, it's like an infinite amount of time you could spend, but it's really not about the like, you know, the duration of the time. It's kind of like, did you kind of sink in and appreciate it versus just like being there? Because I've had many days where I spent hours and hours and hours, but I didn't really let it sink in. I was just kind of passing the hours, which was a little bit different. So
yeah, I read something once where it's like, as soon as your kid is annoying you, put your phone down. Because if you're present in the moment, that kid isn't annoying. But if you're trying to multitask,
you're trying to be somewhere
the
else.
Whines and that's when it becomes annoying. So we've done a really good job at like, as soon as the babysitter leaves at 3, like we're just fully present. We're not. But when he was a newborn, we weren't doing that as much. So
you're going to have more?
I don't know if I want to go through the whole pregnancy thing again. It was really tough on me, especially mentally after. I'm already a very anxious person. So I think having a newborn to care for while recovering from giving birth at home was pretty intense for me. I don't know if I would want to do it again, but we'll see. I know we want to adopt. I've been looking at adoption websites. I literally lay in bed and like cry looking at them because I just want to adopt all of them. But yeah, I think we got to see our son. We got to see what our DNA would look like combined. He's so funny. He's amazing. He's a little
best.
Connor. But moving forward, I'm like, I don't know if I need that urge again. I think I would just like to adopt a little Vietnamese baby from where my grandma's from and honor her in that way.
You got to make sure they can rap too.
Yeah, if they can't rap, we're not. That'll be part of the application. I'm like,
if they
sing?
Can't use 3-syllable words by 12 months, they're out. Yeah.
If they can't play 3 different characters in the skit, they didn't pass the test.
Yeah, no, we definitely want
looking
more.
For a versatile child to adopt.
Yeah, we need some headshots. Well, we appreciate you guys coming on. You're amazing.
Oh my God, we appreciate you guys having us.
Yeah, this is an honor. Thank you.
I feel inspired talking to you. I imagine Sean does too. And producer Jonathan was texting me and he goes, I'm loving this. They're so damn likable. And
I have a feeling. Thank you, Jonathan. That was my biggest fear, not being likable, because I never really come on camera or do stuff like this. But I knew Sam. So I was like, okay, I know Sam. I want to do this. But normally I'm very fearful of criticism.
I've always been pushing. I think you need to start like your own personal brand. Like you're so knowledgeable in the music space that like, and you're always behind the scenes. No one knows who you are. No one knows how impactful you are in what I do. And I think you need to start putting yourself out there.
That's
more,
very nice.
For sure.
Well, totally. I mean, if you look at their marriage didn't end well, so that's not the great example, but The Rock's wife, I forget her name. What is her name?
Danielle.
They did, yeah.
That's
but
so sad.
But they still work together. They have an interesting dynamic.
Oh,
yeah, they
cool.
still work together, and she's known as being a pit bull. Like she is like feared in the industry. She's sharp, and I think she has more talent underneath her now. But that's like an interesting example, other than the divorce thing, sure. of the business going well. Besides that,
we'll workshop our next analogy for you. We can go back to the lab on that one. Sure.
Well, and people hate on Kris Jenner, but in my opinion,
I love Kris Jenner. I think
I'm
she's
like,
iconic.
I don't know, man. She seems like she still has a pretty healthy. Maybe I don't agree with all the tactics, but her kids and her have a great relationship, and it seems like it's worked really well, and everyone's provided for.
I was interviewing a nanny that nannied for them, and I was like, I'm probably not going to hire her, but I did like 5 interviews just to dig for information about what they're like. She was like, I think by the 3rd interview, she picked up that I only wanted to ask her questions about what it was like. There and I was like, yeah, I'm super curious, can you just tell me some things? And she was like, stop. Not really. And I was like, okay, I respect you for that, that's fair.
We like the Kardashians. I once made Connor binge watch a whole season with me.
I didn't get the appeal at first, and then afterwards I'm like, oh,
I get
they're
it.
All just killers, like it's crazy.
They're all killers,
yeah,
like, and you know, you don't have to agree with all the 100%. Stuff they've done to do famous, but they seem like they have a great relationship.
They're doing relationship. Well. They have great relationships.
Yeah, they all stick together. The loyalty of that family seems strong.
Well, thank you all for doing this. This is awesome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Everybody go. TikTok, is that the first place you want people to follow you?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, just, well, honestly, I think...
Instagram is safest.
I was going to say streaming services. Just like going to your favorite streaming service, typing my name.
All of it.
Typing my name, Connor Price, you'll see all my songs there. Yeah. But yeah, TikTok, Instagram,
You know
YouTube.
What? Can I plug one thing?
Sure.
Any streamers or video gamers, creators watching this, all of Connor's music is DMCA safe. So you can put it in your videos without copyright strike.
I created a playlist on Spotify under my channel that's called like DMCA safe copyright free, where it's all of my songs that are copyright free. Because I have a few songs that I did with other artists and they have their labels get involved so you can't use them. But I have a list of all of the songs that you could use on your YouTube videos, your intros for your podcast, whatever you want, unlimited use. Because I don't do YouTube ID. I think the long-term value of having creators use your music is way more than like trying to get a few dollars every month because somebody used your song in a vlog. So yeah, if you're a creator and you are looking for copyright-free music, I have a bunch of that I want people to use.
And Bree, you're on Twitter, but you don't have any follower.
I have a Twitter? I don't even know.
Oh, I found it. I was gonna say you should promote that because I bet a lot of people are going to want to DM you. But,
I signed up on Threads. I have Threads.
Okay, hit her up on Threads. But Threads doesn't have DMs. You're going to get a lot of opportunities from this.
You just got the Brianna Price handle on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, I got my Brianna Price handle on Instagram.
So, just search her up on Instagram because you're definitely active there.
Yeah, someday I want to. And I just got this Instagram handle I've been dying to get. It's called Home Studio because I want to start a newsletter for independent artists. And then eventually...
Oh, I saw your newsletter. It's really horribly named, by the way. You need to change that name.
No, I stopped that. The independent one?
Yes.
I stopped it. Yeah, That's done.
The idea was good.
Thank you.
The spelling was the worst.
Thank you. I know. I got it. That's done. Don't worry. So I'm switching. I want to do Home Studio because I want to build a newsletter for independent artists and then also then turn that into a potential. We sell like home studio kits where everyone's like, what mic do you use? I'm like, just buy Connor's kit. It comes with a mic, headphone, interface.
Smart.
Everything you can use to make money from home.
And I'll record all my songs using that kit so it sells itself.
Amazing. You guys are awesome. Thanks for coming on. I have a feeling that the next time you guys come on, you'll be 10 times bigger because you have the talent for it. And I think you've stumbled into something really, really amazing. And I think if you just keep going, it's gonna get really big. So thanks for coming on. And
thank you.
That's the episode. That's the pod.
Awesome. That's the pod. Chris. Thank you.
Thank you.
I feel like I can rule the world. I know I could be what I want to. I put my all in it like no days off. On the road, let's travel, never looking back.
All right, this episode is brought to you by Mercury. They are the finance platform of choice for over 200,000 companies. Shouldn't be surprised because I use it myself for not one, not two, but I have 8 different Mercury accounts. I have 7 for different companies that I'm a part of, and then I have my own personal account because now they have personal banking, which is a really cool feature. I highly, highly recommend it. Like I said, I use it myself. And the reason why is because the way that Mercury works is beautiful. It's very intuitive. And you could tell that it's actually made by a startup founder. It's an entrepreneur. You could tell it's made by somebody who used other banking products in the past and didn't like all the different rough edges and annoyances and decided to, you know, actually fix it himself. And really, any type of entrepreneur you are, let's say you're an agency, well, one of the things every agency has to do is be able to send invoices, easily create them, send them to customers, and stay current on your balances with all your customers. Well, you can do that inside Mercury. And so I think that Mercury is great. Highly recommend you check it out. And thank you for sponsoring the show. For more information, check out mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Check show notes for details.